The Lord's Prayer. Chapter 28. Praying in Public. We have received a letter from a subscriber in the East, who challenges the custom of praying in public. We have not space for the entire letter, but will state his points. He claims that there is not only no command for any such practice, but that it is a positive violation of our Savior's directions. But you, when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father which is in secret, and your Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly, that it is a custom of man's devising, because it is in harmony with the whole world, and that therefore the one who prays in public is the friend of the world, and the enemy of God. We do not think there are many who hold such views, but the few who do are quite active in talking them to others. And while they may not make many converts to their theory, they may cause many timid souls to rest all the more easily when they deprive themselves of the blessings of the prayer meeting. So we think it worthwhile to give the matter a little attention. In the first place, it is not true that the habit of public prayer is in harmony with the world, for it is not the custom of the world to pray. Neither is it true that the custom is one of man's devising, as anyone must know who has read the Bible, and as we shall show. When we find that the apostles, and our Lord himself, prayed in public, we know without any question that public prayer is not in opposition to our Savior's words. Old Testament examples. In the 8th chapter of 1 Kings we have not only the recorded fact that Solomon prayed at the dedication of the temple, but we have the prayer repeated in full. And Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hands toward heaven, and he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you, in heaven above, or on earth beneath, who keep covenant and mercy with your servants that walk before you with all their heart, who has kept with your servant David my father that you promised him. You spoke also with your mouth, and have fulfilled it with your hand, as it is this day. Therefore now, Lord God of Israel, keep with your servant David my father that you promised him, saying, There shall not fail you a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel, so that your children take heed to their way, that they walk before me as you have walked before me. And now, O God of Israel, let your word, I pray you, be verified, which you spoke unto your servant David my father. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain you. How much less this house that I have built? Yet have respect unto the prayer of your servant, and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer, which your servant prays before you today, that your eyes may be open toward this house night and day, even toward the place of which you have said, My name shall be there, that you may hearken unto the prayer which your servant shall make toward this place, and hearken to the supplication of your servant, and of your people Israel, when they shall pray toward this place, and hear in heaven your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. If any man trespass against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to cause him to swear, and the oath come before your altar in this house, then hear in heaven, and do, and judge your servants, condemning the wicked, to bring his way upon his head, and justifying the righteous, to give him according to his righteousness. When your people Israel be smitten down before the enemy, because they have sinned against you, and shall turn again to you, and confess your name, and pray, and make supplication unto you in this house, then hear in heaven, and forgive the sin of your people Israel, and bring them again unto the land which you gave unto their fathers. When heaven is shut up, and there is no rain, because they have sinned against you, if they pray toward this place, and confess your name, and turn from their sin, when you afflict them, then hear in heaven, and forgive the sin of your servants, and of your people Israel, that you teach them the good way wherein they should walk, and give rain upon your land, which you have given to your people for an inheritance. If there be in the land famine, if there be pestilence, blasting, mildew, locust, or if there be caterpillar, if their enemy besiege them in the land of their cities, whatsoever plague, whatsoever sickness there be, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man, or by all your people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart, and spread forth his hands toward this house, then hear in heaven your dwelling place, and forgive, and do, and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart you know, for you, even you only, know the hearts of all the children of men Winky Face, that they may fear you all the days that they live in the land which you gave unto our fathers. Moreover, concerning a stranger that is not of your people Israel, but comes out of a far country for your name's sake, For they shall hear of your great name, and of your strong hand, and of your stretched out arm winky face when he shall come and pray toward this house, here in heaven your dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calls to you for, that all people of the earth may know your name, to fear you, as do your people Israel, and that they may know that this house, which I have built, is called by your name. If your people go out to battle against their enemy, wherever you shall send them, and shall pray unto the Lord toward the city which you have chosen, and toward the house that I have built for your name, then hear in heaven their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. If they sin against you, for there is no man that sins not, and you be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captives unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land where they were carried captives, and repent, and make supplication unto you in the land of them that carried them captives, saying, We have sinned, and have done perversely. We have committed wickedness. And so return unto you with all their heart, and with all their soul, in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto you toward their land, which you gave unto their fathers, the city which you have chosen, and the house which I have built for your name. Then hear their prayer and their supplication in heaven your dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive your people that have sinned against you, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against you, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them, for they be your people, and your inheritance, which you brought forth out of Egypt, from the midst of the furnace of iron, that your eyes may be open unto the supplication of your servant, and unto the supplication of your people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto you. For you separated them from among all the people of the earth, to be your inheritance, as you spoke by the hand of Moses your servant, when you brought our fathers out of Egypt, O Lord God. And it was so, that when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven, and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Here we find that God heard and accepted that prayer. This he would not have done if Solomon had been a hypocrite, for the Lord does not pay any attention to the prayers of hypocrites. Now we know that God hears not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God, and does his will, him he hears. For what is the hope of the hypocrite though he has gained, when God takes away his soul? Will God hear his cry when trouble comes upon him? In Solomon's prayer we find the following petition. And if your people Israel be put to the worse before the enemy, because they have sinned against you, and shall return and confess your name, and pray and make supplication before you in this house, then hear from the heavens, and forgive the sin of your people Israel, and bring them again unto the land which you gave to them and to their fathers. Here Solomon showed that he expected the people to make united prayer in the temple, in any time of trouble. But this prayer is a part of inspiration, and therefore it teaches us that public prayer is right. Moreover, the Lord made a specific answer to this request, as we learn from the following. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night, and said unto him, I have heard your prayer, and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now my eyes shall be open, and my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. This is in harmony with the words of God through the prophet. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. The temple was built for this very purpose, and there were set times for prayer in the temple. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. New Testament examples. What we have already given is sufficient to settle the question, but we will bring more evidence. In the 17th chapter of John we have a wonderful prayer of our Lord, which was uttered in the presence of the 11. If this was not a public prayer, we should like to know how many persons must be present, in order that a prayer uttered in their presence may be public. In this prayer, too, there are all the elements of prayer: supplication, thanksgiving, and praise. But if it is thought that there were too few present for this to be called a public prayer, then turn to our Savior's prayer at the grave of Lazarus. So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you heard me. And I knew that you hear me always. But because of the multitude that stands around I said it, that they may believe that you sent me. On this occasion not only the disciples, but a great company of Jews, were present. Now if Jesus had designed by his words to condemn public prayer, it is certain that he himself would not have prayed in public. Take the occasion of the Transfiguration. Jesus took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. It is certain that he prayed at that time in the presence of those three disciples, for it was, as he prayed, that he was transfigured before them. When we take the record concerning the disciples and the apostles of Christ, we find numerous instances of public prayer. After Jesus had ascended, the 11 returned to the upper room where they dwelt, and these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication, with the women, and Mary the mother of Jesus. It was while they were thus daily joining in prayer, that Peter stood up in the midst of them, and there were 120 gathered together. And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples, and said, the number of names together were about 120. He came to the house of Mary the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Acts 1 verses 15 and 12, and laid before them the necessity of having another apostle chosen. And after appointing two men, they prayed and asked the Lord to show which one he had chosen. And their prayer was answered. And they prayed, and said, you, Lord, which know the hearts of all men, show which of these two you have chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. After Peter and John had been released from the imprisonment, which followed the healing of the lame man, they returned to their own company and reported what had been done. When the company had heard that, they lifted up their voices in thanksgiving to God. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Thus God again showed his acceptance of united prayer. Another instance of availing public prayer is found in the 12th chapter of Acts. Herod had put James to death, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. If the narrative ended here, it might be claimed that the prayers for Peter's deliverance were offered by individual members of the church at their homes, and no doubt many prayers were offered in secret. After Peter had been miraculously delivered from the prison, here was united prayer by the church, and the prayer was answered. It was not hypocritical prayer, nor prayer offered for the applause of men. It was such prayer as the Lord delights in. Again, when Paul was on his way to Jerusalem, he stopped at Miletus to hold a meeting with the elders of the church at Ephesus. After an affecting discourse, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. This may mean simply that Paul alone prayed, although it seems more likely that they all prayed. But whichever way it was, it is another instance of public prayer. Once more, while Paul was on this same journey, we find him praying in public. At Tyre, where the ship discharged her cargo, the travelers found disciples, with whom they tarried 7 days. And when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way, and they all brought us on our way, with wives and children, till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore, and prayed. Whoever can say that the prayers in either of these instances were offered in a hypocritical spirit, or with a desire for the praise of men, must be entirely ignorant of Christian love and fellowship. Directions. Other instances of public prayer might be given, but we proceed to notice some directions concerning public prayer, and some direct commands therefore, which we find in the Bible. The Apostle Paul gives directions concerning the fitness of things in prayer, stating that a woman ought not to pray with her head uncovered, nor a man with his head covered. This was a direction for the public assembly. And the Apostle argues as follows concerning praying in an unknown tongue. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else when you shall bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupies the room of the unlearned say amen at your giving of thanks, seeing he understands not what you say? Now when a man prays in secret, it does not make any difference what language he uses, so long as he himself knows what he is saying, for the Lord can understand any language. and it makes no difference in how low a tone he speaks. But this will not do in the kind of prayer that Paul speaks of. In that, the person must pray so as to be understood, so that those who listen may say, Amen. This inspired direction concerning prayer is another proof that public prayer is not displeasing to God. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. Now when the same apostle says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. We must conclude that he intends that when the brethren assemble themselves together to exhort one another, they shall also pray together. And that this is what they should do, we learn from our Savior's words in, Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. In these texts we have the authority for a prayer meeting. But now read a direct command for public prayer. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. Does anybody believe that James intended that the elders of the church should come to the sick man's house, and then each retire to a room by himself to pray? No, for it is expressly stated that they are to pray over him. The next verse provides for mutual confession and united prayer, and no one who has experienced the blessedness of praying with the afflicted and needy would wish to be forever debarred from the privilege. He who would not be convinced by this array of scripture testimony that public prayer is not a sin, but is required by the Lord, would not be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. But while we have thus pleaded the case of public prayer, we would not be understood as depreciating secret prayer in the least. The man who does not pray in secret cannot offer an acceptable prayer in public. For in every true prayer the soul must enter into the Holy of Holies and there hold communion with God. And it is in the closet that the intimate acquaintance with God is gained which enables one to do this. There are some petitions which one can make only in secret. They cannot be expressed before men. All matters of a strictly personal character are for the closet alone. Our Lord reproved the spirit of parading one's secret wants, or his piety, before the world. But while he emphasized the necessity of secret prayer, he did not thereby condemn public prayer. It is true that public prayer may be perverted, and may become a mere form, or may be engaged in merely for display. The same may be said of secret prayer. We have known people who were careful that people should know their hours for secret devotion, and others who did not need to tell people when they prayed, as everybody in the immediate neighborhood could hear. Such prayers, although uttered in the closet, are as much condemned by our Lord as are the street corner prayers. And as for form, there are few who will not have to confess that, even when by themselves, they have sometimes engaged in prayer in a listless, perfunctory manner, and have literally said their prayers. But some will urge, as a last resort, that they can't possibly pray in public. We don't believe any such thing. We have heard people make such an excuse for not taking part in prayer meeting, and in some cases they were the most talkative people in the meeting, and would, if allowed, monopolize all the time of the social meeting. Peter was not afraid to pray in public when he felt the waters of the Sea of Galilee giving way beneath his feet. Perhaps when these people feel their foundation giving way beneath them, and see nothing between them and destruction, they will not stop to consider who may hear, when they cry, Lord, save me!